Chapter 25, Worship. Most middle-class Americans tend to worship their work, work at their play, and play at their worship. John Maxwell. What comes to your mind when I say the word worship? I fear this quote by John Maxwell may be truer than we wish to admit. How do we truly worship? When we think of worship, we often refer to a type of music. Sometimes the words praise and worship are used interchangeably, but nothing could be further from the truth. Praise stems from recognizing the good acts of God, but worship comes from the core of who the worshiper is and what God means to them. Wikipedia defines worship as, "Worship is an act of religious devotion, usually directed towards a deity." For many, worship is not about an emotion. It is more about a recognition of God. An act of worship may be performed individually, in an informal or formal group, or by a designated leader. Such acts involve honoring. I love what my friend Carlos Huayanca says on the worship page of his church website. Worship is not about playing an instrument or singing. It's about praising and honoring God with our witness. How do we go about praising and honoring God with our witness? We see many examples of individual worship in the Bible. Luke 7, 36 to 50 tells of an unnamed woman who lived a sinful life. She entered a house where Jesus was eating a meal with some church leaders. In those days, people reclined when eating meals, so Jesus was in a reclining position. The woman approached his feet. Overcome by his holiness, she wept and wet his feet with her tears. She then anointed his feet with an expensive perfume. Jesus was criticized by the church leaders, but he praised the woman for her act of true worship. She was a witness to his holiness. The story of another unnamed woman in the Bible is told in the book of Mark 12:41-44. Jesus was sitting outside the temple with his disciples. They were watching people make donations to the temple. Donations were collected in a large metal tube, which made a big clunk when coins were dropped in. Everyone could tell who was making the largest donation by the clunking in the tube. There were many large donations that day, but along came a widow who made an exceedingly small donation. It was so small, it barely made a sound. Jesus praised her for this act. Others had given out of their abundance, but she gave all she had. This was an act of sacrificial worship. Both of these women were exhibiting different forms of worship, but each of them pleased the Lord in their own way. We are told in the book of Hebrews 12:28, "Let us be thankful then, because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful and worship God in a way that will please him with reverence and awe." That is well and good, but what does that look like practically? Rick Warren tells us that worship should, 1, involve your spirit, and 2, should be thoughtful. Involving your spirit is not just singing some great songs, but rather engaging your heart. It's a matter of connecting your spirit to God's. That can be done in many ways. Some of the ways, which are all found in various passages in the Bible, Warren suggests are confessing, singing, shouting, standing in honor, kneeling, dancing, making a joyful noise, testifying, playing a musical instrument, and raising hands. All are perfectly welcome as an act of worship. What you choose depends upon your style, and as discussed previously, upon your spiritual pathway. Just as we all have different ways of seeking the Lord, we all have different ways to worship. What works for me might not work for you. The main thing is that we are in fellowship with the Lord. When we experience real worship, hearts and lives are changed. It is about getting to know the God who created us and coming to know Jesus in a real and meaningful manner. It is about experiencing the presence of the Lord in every aspect of our life, not just on a particular day or in a particular place. Worship should also be thoughtful. We are told to love God with our mind 4 times in the Bible in both the Old and the New Testaments. We do not need superficial religious rituals. All we need is to be ready for the gentle prompts of the Spirit, advising us through the reading and study of God's Word. That is the most amazing thing about reading Scripture. What you get from it is always changing. One thing builds on what you have already learned and your life experiences. All that is constantly evolving. When you read different translations. It's amazing how a different word or words will increase your understanding. Some Bibles provide a more literal translation, and others use more modern words. When you shop for a Bible, find a knowledgeable person to assist you. There are so many different Bibles from which to choose. I volunteer at the bookstore at my church. Even as volunteers, we've taken a class on how to help people to buy a Bible based on their interests and needs. You can also use a commentary to further your understanding. So where should we worship? Where does not really matter. Some prefer corporate worship. Others prefer to worship privately. Some will love a beautiful building, and others feel God's Spirit in a warehouse or at the beach. Some will enjoy worship in their homes and some on television. Any way you worship is important, as long as it creates a personal relationship between God and you. Corporate worship can also help to bring a community together. Some people feel that they gain a better understanding of Christianity through attending church services. The most important thing is to create a time and a place. Find yours. For me, I love going to my church where I can worship in community with others. When we were quarantined due to the COVID-19 virus, I really miss worshiping at my church. Soon, my church and many others put their service online. It filled the hole, but it just was not the same. I also love walking, running, or riding my bike, and listening to and singing along with some great praise music. In his letter to the Romans 12:1, the Apostle Paul says, "So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him." What does a living sacrifice involve? It involves sacrifice. It could be your time, your energy, or your money, but it will involve giving something up. That could even be our self-centeredness. When our focus is on God, it is off ourselves. When we're not thinking about ourselves, it is easier to give our hearts to God. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 100, tells us how to enter joyfully into God's presence. To really savor this Psalm, read several versions of it. His faithfulness extends to our generation and beyond. The version I'm going to read comes from today's English version. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before Him with happy songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to Him. We are His people. We are His flock. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise Him. The Lord is good. His love is eternal, and His faithfulness lasts forever. Let us praise and honor God with our witness.